That's great. Thank you so much. The only thing better is to sit here on stage when they're doing it, and you can feel it coming up through the floor. Thank you. He is worthy. Fooled you, didn't I? Yeah. You're my favorite gullible people. It's great. That's one of the things. How do we get past the inhibitions of what really, who we are and what we're supposed to do? It was nice watching, you know, some of you were standing up and you were saying, oh gosh, I shouldn't have done that because I really don't want to stand the whole time. I don't want to sit down because it maybe looks like I'm not serving Jesus if I sit down or whatever. But I also saw some of you that were sitting down and you stood back up and whatever. That's what this should be. This should be, it's a corporate time, but us individually. It's like Thanksgiving. You know, everybody comes and they do different things, but there are certain folks, they bring a certain dish to the table. It's just not the same without them. Be the person to always bring that better dish when we gather together, because Thanksgiving is not something we have. Thanksgiving is something that we do. All right, so let's look at our scripture today. We're looking at a very familiar passage. And it comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 8th chapter, 34 through 36. It's in your scripture. There's a little in your bulletin, there's a little place in there you can draw in there if you want to make notes. So here's what Jesus says. So Jesus called the crowd to him along with the disciples. You hear that? He called the crowd. In other words, he was with the 12, but here's all of us. I mean, here was everybody that was coming around, whether you got it or you didn't. And he said, whoever wants to be my disciple, not a Christian, not to be so saved, okay, who wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. In that order. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. Okay? Whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel, whoever gives their life away for me and for the gospel will save it. All right. So my father-in-law, as I was just been thinking about this month for different reasons, my father-in-law used to love to read Westerns and watch Westerns. See, if I said Chester, how many of you know who I'm talking about? There you go. All right. Matt Dillon. Okay. If I say a name and you don't know who I'm talking about, I want you to raise your hand. John Wayne. Okay, you gotta find another church. That's called a Duke. That's great, right, Weston. So, one of the great writers in books was Louis L'Amour. Anybody ever read Louis L'Amour's books? And go, oh, good, very good. And he would read those. One of the things that Louis L'Amour taught us was about with stagecoach in the Old West. He taught us about stagecoach. You ever watch the stagecoach coming in? Everybody would get in. And there were three classes of ticket holders on there. There was first class, second class, and third class. And you're trying to figure this out. How could there be three classes? So picture in your mind, every stagecoach looks just exactly the same, doesn't it? You've got the all dolled up girl, you know, that's got the hair on it tight and everything around. Then you've got the slick gunslinger that's sitting in there, this beady-eyed, dark tan, you know, got the bolero on, looking at her, and she's all uncomfortable, you know. And then you've got another guy over here, and he's a little small little fellow with glasses looking out the window, usually an accountant or an attorney, sorry. But was sitting over there like that. And then you had these kind of other folks in there, and some of them might have been a little bit of character, and another one just might have been just a worn kind of. You see them all in there? How did you determine who was first class, who was second class, and third class? Because you see, on a plane, you get in first, second, first, or business, you know, and then economy class, and you're able to see that. So what was the difference? So here is the difference, okay? And this is great. I heard this message from given to a preacher years, decades ago. But the lesson has just stuck with me, and I want to give it to you today, and I think it's going to have an impact in how we live out our lives and how we move the kingdom of God down the road. So the first one, Louis tells us, is this. The first class ticket holders is, no matter what, these folks never had to get out of the stagecoach. They got in their seat and they stayed there. It didn't matter what happened. Rain, stuck, whatever. Second class ticket holders, what they did is if something happened and there was a broken wheel or there was something out there, they had to get out. They had to get out of the stagecoach just to be able to lighten up the load, but they didn't have to do anything. All they had to do was just kind of get out of the way and stuff like that and do it. But the third class ticket holders, those were the ones, if something happened and they got stuck in somewhere, not only did they have to get out, they had to lift up the wheel, they had to put it on, or even if they got stuck, they had to get in the mud and they had to push it and make their way on through there. Okay, so I want to talk to you about in the church being first, second, and third class ticket holders. And so you need to check your ticket. You need to see which ticket you got today. So you better strap on. This has got a place where it's an equal opportunity sermon in here. There's enough to make almost everybody mad about something here in just a minute, okay? All right. So the first class ticket holders, you know, in the church is this. First class ticket holder says, give me a position worthy of my calling, worthy of my gifts and graces, worthy of who I am. And I deserve to lead, and more so, I deserve that my voice would be hearkened to. My words should be more than enough. Let me tell you what. These folks, they show up if they happen to be in politics or whatever, they show up for election year. They're never around the other times, but they'll come around and they'll talk and ask you how your kid mispronounced your wife's name and everything else and your kids and stuff like that. That's what they do, is they show up in those times. Or big events and things like that. That's where they are, so they show up like this, all right? They come all dressed the part. When there's a big event that goes on, like a study, a revival, a big thing like that, they'll come for the first night of it, all right? They'll be there. But it's not their responsibility to be encouraging and in leadership with everybody else. That's what a first-class ticket holder is. And I hear some of you saying, God, Grady, did you eat something wrong this week to where you're coming in like this? But I want you to look at it. That's what first-class ticket holders in the church look like. They sit there and they don't get out and they don't do anything like that, all right? And sometimes there's first class ticket holders. So let's look at the second class ticket holder, okay? Well, first of all, these folks too, they don't really want to help anybody unless it's they don't really care kind of about ministry. They are concerned with memorials. They're concerned with honorariums and that aspect. They really just want to make sure that nobody else gets their slice of the pie. These are the folks, by the way, these are the folks that will play it safe all the time. We want everything to be able to go where it won't fail. We think about being, and that's right, we need to be a successful type church, all right? And these folks, by the way, do not want to be challenged at all. And they don't want to help people if it means them being inconvenienced themselves. And if they might feel insecure, you know, and here's the other thing. Their concern, the reason you don't do that, is it may damage the character of the church or maybe the heritage of the denomination. Okay. All right. So the second class citizen, all right, they get out of the coach, and these are the folks in the church that what they do is they get involved in some of the programs, but when the going gets tough and when the ministry needs are there and the really ministry needs hits, watch out, okay? Because these are the folks who just, if they just got out and stood on the sidelines, you know, as the wheels and everything else was changed, it would be okay. But these folks are often the most critical people that you will ever find. And they have all kind of ideas. They have criticisms of what you ought to do and how you ought to do it, but they won't help, okay? Now, they are the first ones to spread rumors. They make sarcastic statements about programs and ministries and decisions that are made. And they resent some aspect that you've got a little bit of the spotlight as a result of what you're doing. You know, listen, there is a sad group in the church that's quick to rejoice at the failures of others. Some program takes place and it flops, and another goes, I told you. It's almost like, yay, let's have a party and celebrate we failed again. All right? Because here's what they say. Listen, second class ticket holders, you say, if they would have just listened to me, none of this would have happened. All right? Yeah, they didn't do the first thing to get alongside of them. you know, because of, you know, they resented the fact and what was going on, or they were very, very self-centered. And I want to tell you something. I have been the holder of a second-class ticket, and I had to ask forgiveness, and I continually need to ask forgiveness for it. Now, let me just go ahead and just step over the line and provoke some anger in here. Rick Warren says that people are going to leave the church. We just get to choose why, okay, the reason why. There are folks that we have preferences and styles and characteristics of worship here. We have two distinct type of worship. And these styles are, by the way, they're totally at my discretion, if you have not heard that by now. They are, and the leadership and my authority, given to me by the bishop to have authority, go take that authority, a word, sacrament, and order to be able to do that. There are comments that are made by us among ourselves sometimes, and I think sometimes it's a second class and sometimes first class ticket holders that say this, and we make comments. Well, you know, the rock and roll church, you know, or the Jesus jumping, you know, or the ya-ya church or something, you know, like that of whatever goes on. You know, and the same thing is, you know, and you know, over there, you know, where you're frozen and you can't move, and you go in and you're wondering if you're gonna, you know, I feel like I'm on edge, you know, I think it's all about, you know, pleasing and everything, and all this stuff goes on. Listen, you know, when this stuff happens, when we start doing that, let me tell you something. We are not here to please each other and make everyone happy. That's not what we're here for. We're here to proclaim Christ and to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And I don't know if you've looked out there lately, but the world is about as screwed up as a football bat. I mean, it's really messed up out there. And so what we need is this, is folks that will step out and do away with second class and move from that. Ruby Nelson was at our church at Prospect, and she was in her 70s. Her father was a pastor in the United, grandfather was in United Methodist Church, strong in the denomination, everything. And so she was on staff parish, and we were hiring. So again, this is some 18 years ago. And so we're hiring a contemporary worship leader and all, and he's coming in, and Rick came in and was doing it. And her statement was, she said, you know, I don't care for that kind of music, but I'll be there on the front row to make it happen. And she was there, and she smiled, and she looked at the lives of others because they were growing in Christ. She was willing, recognizing that you may be a second-class ticket holder, but to be the third class is what it needed to be. And that's what I want to talk to you about now. Is about, now, by the way, when you fly, please fly first, second, third class. That has nothing to do with it. But when we fly, when I fly away here by and by, this is what it's about right here. The stagecoach was kept running, and the church is kept running by third-class ticket holders and folks that are sustained like this. And the reason that these folks are the way that they are, not the guy that's over there, that's the so-called questionable character, but the tough one that automatically, when something happens, that probably chose to buy that third-class ticket holder, gets out and helps. It's because they are called by God to serve. And you can see the presence in them. You can see God working in their lives. They go and they serve and they do it with love. You can see folks that can do things with a passion, and they're angry and mad. And there's others that's just a settledness to them. Because they don't worry about others. They don't worry about what they do for others will affect how others think about them. Did you hear that? They're not concerned what others think about them if they happen to roll up their sleeves and get muddy. So, and some of these folks, by the way, are executives. You know, they're gunslingers, okay? They're ex-presidents and CEOs. They're PhDs. They're media specialists. But many of them are mechanics, and they're carpenters, and they're clerks, and they're service managers, and they're stay-at-home mom and dads. And whenever there's a breakdown in the road, they're the first ones to get out. So let me just talk to you a minute, and I can't get everybody, but let me tell you about third-class ticket holders. Fran Holmes and Gene Holder of JH Ministries are third-class ticket holders. back in the time when working with special needs kids and all, and there was never a place, because a lot of folks have said, you can't do that. You can't bring those kids to church, because if you bring those kids to church, it's going to make people uncomfortable. It's going to make people feel a little bit odd. It's going to give us a reputation. That's a third-class ticket holder. And I'm going to tell you what. If I didn't have those kids in this church, there would be a hole in my heart and my life. That's the result of it. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. And you see, that is a, Lord, I know they've never clapped at me saying anything before. Please don't let that go to my head in any way. Okay. Some way or another. I'm just excited about this. Okay. But this, and the great thing is you're clapping for Gene and applauding. But here's another. And then Jack and Nancy Miles over here. Jack and Nancy. Nancy had cancer, and as a result of it, she received these cards and notes, individualized cards. And as a result of it, she goes back and decides to be able to go and bring back an intercessory prayer ministry to be able to come in here. And to do this and to set this up and to say this, you can't do that. You need to put all the prayers in the bulletin. That's the way we do it, so everybody reads it and it goes out and says, no, we're going to put it in there and you've got to go in the prayer room. You're not going to get people to sign up. They don't want to give their time. It's too precious to be able to do it. And as a result of it, of what we have, is when you think about it, of the hundreds of people that go into that prayer ministry and the lives that are touched, and if you just think about it, in 1 year, 500 individualized pieces of prayer mail go out a month, okay? And for a year, even if you only did it 10 months, that's 5,000 prayer notes that go out. And since I've been here in 10 years, that's 50,000 prayers that have gone out. And somebody said, you can't do it. It's not going to go over. That's a third-class ticket holder that makes it steps in there to be able to do this. Brooks and Cecily Pennington and Jesse and Brighton Patrick got together on a Wednesday night and said, all these young folks that don't come to church or whatever, they love God, but they're traveling and they're doing everything on the weekends. They don't have a chance to get together. We can get a small group and we'll get together and we'll feed them and we'll get together and we'll start. And they started with eight or nine different couples. They started with 20 and then they moved. And now what's happening, because they're so busy and they won't be able to come, there's 25, 30 couples that's involved. There's 30 and 40 of them there every night, and they're growing in Christ. They're looking at these things, because what they did is they said, this is what needs to be done. These are ticket holders. Randy and the praise team, these folks are coming in and practicing and rehearsing of what they do. The magic of John Mears and Todd Watson back there on the back. All of these folks have other jobs of what they're doing to be able to, except Jeff, and he's retired now and he's getting to do what he really wants to do, and Ricky in there. And all these folks jump in here and come in here, and that song doesn't come together that easy. But what they see it and it needs to do, because it moves and motivates people to do it. The same thing with the bell choir and all the other choirs over there that Kathleen does. And listen, I'm not sliding. I'm not sliding anybody else on this, but I do. I want to go on with this because you need to hear this. Of those who happen to teach Sunday school on a rotating basis, like 15 times if you do it in a year, and over a 5-year period, that's 75 times to teach. I want to tell you about third class ticket holders. I want to tell you about a person named Deborah Mosley. For 37 years of what we've been in the ministry, who was not a Christian when we first met, 10 months from the date she came to know the Lord, and she's grown in the scripture and whatever. And this is a person that didn't grow up, didn't know what a preacher's wife was going to be able to come in and to teach. And she's not a pastor's wife. She's Deborah Mosley, and she is a person of God of herself. She is first lady of this church, by the way, to be there. But what she has done in that 75 years, very easily, well, of the 37 years, there's easily, Deborah Mosley teaches 75 lessons a year, whether in a Bible study here or Sunday school or some other event. And if you look over that in those years, she's taught 2,775 lessons. And the reason she did it, a large part, she will tell you, I wish somebody would have been there for my mother when she was going through the loss that she had with her first son that died, to be able to do it. Our own John Miles is the same way of being here. John, I know him for here being here 10 years, okay? And he teaches Sunday school. He would teach Wednesday night Bible study. He teaches the Tuesday morning study of whatever to be in here. When you figure with that, that's 1,500 lessons just alone in teaching that word, when there's all these other people that could be teaching. And yes, sometimes there's 40 and 50 folks in there. Most of the time it's 6 and 10 people that's in there. and it's lifting it up and it's doing all this. Melissa Martin, and I'm going to take it. We're not going to close out, because I want us to close out with what I want to talk to you about sharing with this. Like folks like Melissa Martin. Melissa Martin comes in, studies, and does her work with yoga faith-based yoga where she comes in. And the folks that meet every Monday and every Wednesday of what they come in, not only do they get the stretch, they are able to have a therapy that's done through the Holy Spirit where Christ comes in their life to be able to do. She ties it all in. She works it deep. You know, and she could be doing in a lot of other places. She could be a complete first-class ticket holder, but she's choosing to be a third-class one that takes place. And countless folks of you that volunteering, driving the vans and taking and doing it. Not those that get begged and have to, you know, we can't find anybody else, but those that see it and step up. The diligent work, if those of you who are on the finance committee, except especially in leadership, the diligent work to make the stuff. I want to ask you something. In the 10 years if we've been here, have you heard anything insecure or anything that's questioning the credibility or the trust of the finances in this church? Not one bit. That doesn't come easily. That's somebody that says, I'm going to jump in there and do the, and the cooking of the meals, the bringing of the week care, all the other stuff of what's going on, the grieving, the nursing home visits, all this singing and everything. Why does this happen? Why does this happen? Because people just love Christ. Not just love, but they love Christ and they love other people. And they want to be, they're called, and they want to be faithful to their call, okay? And I want to live as a faithful person. I want to live as a called person. I want to do what I'm supposed to do because I'm called by God to do it. Not driven by complaints, not by the desires of the least resistance, and surely not by the world's pull in this way. And I believe, like I said today, I believe if God has led you here, God has led you here today and nudged you by somebody to be here for whatever reason. And our job and my job is this task is to help you to get to this place, is to say, and your calling to him is not to be successful. Your calling to him is to be faithful in him and not worry about the what ifs. If we worried about the what ifs and the witnesses of what would happen to us in and for the Lord concerning our career and our ministries and everything, we would never accomplish anything of what we did. If we worried and concerned that it might do some damage or whatever like that because of what God's calling us to do, and we'd stop. Show me one place in the scripture where Jesus said, now we need to think about this a little bit before we do this. Even one person that came to him and said, Lord, he's not one of us and he's doing this. And Jesus said, look, if he's not against us, he's for us. And I'm sure that frustrated them, but Jesus is pushing them to be able to do this. You see, the Lord is directing us and what to do. What he desires. And what I believe that the church is in desperation and destitute of is more third-class ticket holders. That's where I see it. So here's what I say. Load them up. Yeehaw! You know, get on this thing. Let's get in the stagecoach of life. Let's move this kingdom, the kingdom of God. And you need to check your ticket. By the way, he didn't call you so that you could have a reserved seat and then sit on that seat and worship him. He never asked us to worship him. He asked us to follow him. Anyone who would come after me, you deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And if you'll do, and if you, the paradox is if you give your life away, and for the gospel's sake, you'll find every bit of it. If you've got those first class tickets, you know, throw that sucker away. If you got a second class one, shred that bad boy, okay? And get you a book of third class tickets where you can get out there and serve the Lord. Here's what Eugene Peterson says. Listen, here's how he translated this. Calling the crowd of his disciples, he said, anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me, and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to saving yourself and your true self. That's what we need, is more third-class ticket holders. Welcome to the Church of Third Class. Let me pray with you. Oh God, I pray that you would break my heart. Break my heart to be compassionate to folks in the church and in my family and in my community, in my work and in the world and in my school. To love them just as much as I love the Word, even and at times even more than I love myself. Forgive me for deeming myself as first-class ticket holder in a point where I never was able to enter into the lives of others. Now, Lord, I thank you that you can allow me to exchange that ticket and forever be third class, because those who will last will be first, and those who give their life away for the gospel will save it. In Christ's name, amen.